appreciate that song. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. That is the sweetest name I know. Amen. No other name like the name Jesus. Amen. If you want to turn in your Bibles, be looking in Genesis chapter number 13 is where we're looking this morning. Genesis chapter number 13. You've heard of the principle of first mention. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning and gaining some insight from this particular first mention. And I hope it'll be a blessing and a help and instructive. That's my message, is an instructive message. It's not an evangelistic message. It's not certainly not a rejoicing message, but it's an instructive message from the Word of God that I hope will be helpful and, as I said, bring glory to the Lord. Let's look at verse number 1 of chapter 13. I want to read down, I'll read the whole chapter, and I'll pick out some verses and show you our text. The Bible said, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. The land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. And I want to really preach on the separation between Lot and Abraham, Abram as he's called in the text. Verse number 13 particularly, the Bible said, verse number 12. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, this phrase, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. I want to preach this morning on this thought. What to do when someone you know pitches their tent toward Sodom. Brother Bell, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Hey, Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to come to the house of God today, and Lord, for the Sunday school hour.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
To the house of to the preaching hour, that you touch Brother Shepherd as he asks.
Please help us,
pray,
Lord. Yes.
Lord, at the end of Sunday school, that you just guide and direct, Lord, and I pray that you speak to our hearts and those by way of radio as well. If you're one here lost or by way of radio lost, that you deal with their heart and draw
yes.
them into salvation. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and I do appreciate that prayer. Well, this portion of scripture that I read to you gives the account of the return of Abram from Egypt. You remember he went to sojourn in Egypt because of famine in the land of Canaan. And some things could be said about that. I don't believe that he was supposed to have gone down into Egypt. I believe it was a weakness of faith that caused him to go down into Egypt. And by the way, when he went, when he did come out, and you may be a Christian and you may walk in the flesh sometimes rather than in the spirit and make fleshly decisions, but if you do, God will bring you out of that. I don't believe he leaves you there. Abram didn't die down in Egypt. Amen. Abram came back, and I believe God talks about a good man may fall. He may fall seven times, but he's going to get up again. Amen. And I believe if you've got the Spirit of God in you, there is the perseverance and the preservation of the saved. I believe you will come up out of that fall. Amen. But Abram did that. He sojourned in Egypt. He did come back. But here's something. He brought back something too. He brought back Hagar from Egypt, caused trouble down the road. But he also, when he went into Egypt, he didn't go alone. He took Lot with him. And he brought Lot back, but Lot was never the same. And Lot, I believe, saw something in Egypt that he lacked. And when he looked toward Sodom, the Bible said it was as the land of Egypt. He saw that and reminded him of something that struck his fancy and caused Lot then to wander down to the city of Sodom. Well, we read of the return of Abram and the subsequent separation of Abram and Lot. Lot and Abraham were kinsmen. Lot was the son of Abram's deceased brother, Haran. Haran died, and Lot followed Abraham when he left Ur of the Chaldees. And even though Lot was his nephew, they called each other brother. And over, they talk about, this is our brother. And God even talked about Abram later. He talked about him rescuing his brother, Lot. And so they were kinsmen. And Lot had followed Abram when he came out of Ur of the Chaldees and left that wicked place. He followed Abraham, went to sojourn in Egypt, and even followed Abraham when he came back out of Egypt into Canaan land. But now we come to a place where there's a parting of ways. There's arisen a disturbance, the Bible talks about conflict here that arose between not Abram and Lot, but their herdsmen, their employees, if you want to say it that way, if we could use it there. And because, by reason of their prosperity, the fact that both of them now are becoming wealthy, more and more wealthy, and because of that wealth, there becomes some friction and some influences caused there that over these temporal treasures. Lot, the Bible said, Lot made his choice. That he wanted the temporal treasures more than the altars, more than God, more than the promise of God. He wanted these precious things of this world. So he looked out over those well-watered plains because he had cattle. And he chose that land that lay, that valley that lay, and the cities that lay down in that valley, which is Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. And so he pitched his tent. That's what he said in verse number 12. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now, my message today really is a message of a burden that's on my heart, because just this past Thursday, July the 21st, at the GOP convention, one of the main speakers on the stage that night, Thursday night, was a man by the name of Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel is a 48-year-old German-born American citizen. He is a business entrepreneur, having become famous for co-founding and serving as CEO of PayPal. But he has now become even more famous for his speech at the Republican National Convention, where he said this. This is a quote. He says, "Every American has a unique identity. I am proud to be gay. I am proud to be a Republican. But most of all, I am proud to be an American." Immediately following that statement, the entire room erupted in applause. And Mr. Thiel received a standing ovation amid rousing applause, especially from the Trump family. Amen. It's the camera spanned to where the family members were sitting. They stood and were applauding. Everybody started standing, and he got that standing ovation. Following that man's speech, not immediately following, but later on in the night, Mr. Trump's keynote speech in accepting the Republican nomination as their selected candidate for the presidency, he, Mr. Trump, made overtures towards the pro-Sodomite crowd, and this is what he said. Again, it's a direct quote. He said, "As president, I will do everything in my power to protect LGBTQ citizens from the violence and oppression of a hateful foreign ideology." Mr. Trump said that to a round of applause. And then he went off script. And again, a quote, he said, "And I have to say, as a Republican, it's so nice to hear you cheering for what I just said." He pitched his tent toward Sodom. And that crowd pitched their tent toward Sodom. Amen. For those of you that don't know what LGBTQ stands for, stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer. That's their words. These are the initials of the most radical, most openly perverted, sexually deviant crowd in mainstream society of today. Militant, many of them are. One of the surprises of these statements being so pronounced on the main stage of the convention floor, following this display of such applause and approval, one of the most amazing things is that this year's rules, the party rules of the committee, chose, and by the way, by the influence of Mr. Ted Cruz, they chose a platform that is the most conservative platform in the Republican Party history. The most conservative platform. In that platform, they stand against the transgender bathroom push by the Obama administration. In that platform, they submit and support conversion therapy to help bring confused LGBTQs to a straight and normal lifestyle. Amen. However, with these public statements, we have to conclude that Mr. Trump and that crowd have pitched their tent toward Sodom. This seems to be the trend of this generation, by the way. Amen. You might already have friends and family members who have done just the same. They've chosen to no longer condemn sodomy as sin and perversion. They've chosen to accept that as a quote-unquote normal lifestyle. They've chosen to embrace it as acceptable so long as it has mutual consent. If you live very long in this sad generation that we live in, you're going to face these issues and you're going to have to decide what to do when someone you know pitches their tent toward Sodom. Amen. Now, just by way of introduction, let me start out beginning to admit that I am angry. Amen. However, you will not hear me advocating violence or spewing curse words or even slang terms towards these people. Amen. I am angry that such perverted lifestyle choices have been dubbed normal by a deceived and deluded society. Amen. Listen, straight men, and that's their term, straight men do not sexually abuse and rape young boys, but perverts and sodomites do. Straight women do not abuse and misuse or rape young girls, but perverts, sodomites do. Amen. Normal people who have a healthy sexual life, if I can say it that way, do not display their exploits, and they do not promote their pornographic signs and words and pictures across our society, but sodomites and perverts do. Amen. That does make me angry. Amen. We have to live in this world. We have to turn our head from the billboards. Amen. We have to choose not to watch that filth on television. Amen. So many choices that we had to make. I'll get there in a minute. Lord help us. Amen. Now, using the principle of first mention, I'm going to give you a biblical approach. I believe it's right. And Thursday night I went to bed. I told my wife, I said, I don't know what to do. And she'll affirm to you, I didn't sleep very much Thursday night. God was giving me this message. To be honest with you, I got every point in my sleep. However you say it came from a dream. No, I kept waking up, and I'd have another point, and I'd roll it over in my mind, and God gave me these thoughts. I want to deal with this biblically. I don't want to deal with it emotionally. I don't want to deal with it with anger. I want to deal with it like the Bible deals with it. Amen. And this principle of first mention, here's what Abraham did. Number one, by the way, he's our father of the faith. Be good to follow him. Amen. Amen. The father of our faith, good to follow him. First thing he did, he went in an opposite direction. Amen. Every one of my points have a D in it. The major point is a D. Go when someone you know turns to pitch their tent towards Sodom. You go in an opposite direction. In our scripture, verse number 9, look with me, Genesis 13, verse number 9, he says, "Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me." And I underline this phrase, "If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." Abram knew that the time had come to depart from Lot. Whichever way Lot went, Abraham was going the other way. He didn't say, "If you go left, I'll go left a little bit." He said, "No, if you go left, I'm going right. If you go right, I'm going left." He said, "I'm going in an opposite direction." Now, here's what I believe. Abram must have known that Lot's heart and Lot's attitude was not towards God. That Lot's heart and his attitude had gone a different direction from the way that God was leading him. Amen. Therefore, Abraham knew that he must go in an opposite direction from the one which Lot chose. Simply put, when someone you know turns toward Sodom, you must be sure not to turn with them, but turn from them. Amen. I'll say that again. When someone you know pitches their tent toward Sodom, you must be careful not to turn with them, but to turn from them. Parting company may be hard, but it is sometimes necessary. It may hurt your feelings. It may cause you to weep. It may cause you to suffer heartbreak. But the hurt of your heart will be far less than the hurt for the generations to come if you do less. Amen. Number one, go in an opposite direction. Number two, put some distance between you. Look at the same verse, verse number 9. The first part of it. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. Separate. That means put some distance between us. Look at verse number 18. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Abraham moved away from that city of Sodom, moved away from his nephew that had chosen to pitch his tent toward Sodom. Matter of fact, Abraham built another altar. He knew where his dedication was and where his devotion was. Sometimes you have to cut off communications. Sometimes you have to cut off that association with someone when they have chosen to pitch their tent toward Sodom. When they decide to walk contrary to the Word of God, especially when they're promoting wickedness and deviancy, amen, for the sake of your other family members, for the sake of your own relationship with God, for the sake of a good testimony towards others, you may have to put some distance between you and those you love. Amen. Those of you that have Facebook, and I don't understand it, and I just hear the lingo, but those of you that have Facebook know that sometimes you're forced to, quote unquote, block those who spew profanity or that show nudity or near nude pictures. You have a way that it hides their comments or hides their posts, that you don't have to see that. Amen. Amen. That's just one small way in which we may be forced to distance ourselves from others. Once they begin to pitch their tent toward Sodom. We've got to go a different direction, and we've got to distance, put some distance between us and them. Amen. Number three. This is one that's going to get a little hard. You got to do all you can to offer them deliverance. I understand that as soon as Mr. Trump made his comment about protecting the LGBTQ community, that Mrs. Clinton sent a, what do they call that? Tweet, yeah. I can't, Tweety Bird, tweet. She don't look like a tweet thing to me. Neither one of them looked like a tweet thing to me. But anyway, she sent a tweet that said, how can you say that when your party platform advises and supports conversion therapy? Listen, if you've got a friend that's got cancer, are you helping them to say, you just live with that cancer until you die? Or are you helping them to say, let's deal with the issue? Amen. Listen, this issue of this whole mindset of drifting toward Sodom and pitching our tent toward Sodom, listen, it's made up of choices made by people. It's not the way they were born.
Right.
Amen. It's not the way they were born. It's the choices they've made. It's the lifestyle they've chosen. That's right. And they can change. Some of them. Amen. Look in our text, Genesis 14, verse 1. Genesis 14, verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of the nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shedeber, king of Zeboam, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the vale of Sodom, which is the Salt Sea. And so there's a battle going on. Look down at verse number 11. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all their victuals, and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram, the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, the brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. I like it. Abram was in the Confederate army. Amen. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus, and he brought back all the goods, and also brought back again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Now, notice this. There's four kings goes up to fight five kings. The five kings happens to be the crowd that's got the Sodomites in their military. They got the majority in numbers, but they still lose the battle. Amen. And you can say whatever you want to say, but it's not a good thing to put effeminate men on the battlefield. It's not a good thing to put masculine women on the battlefield. Amen. It's not a good thing. They lost. Very first time we see it happen, very first time it was tried, they lost the battle. But nonetheless, Abram heard about it. By the way, they carried off Lot and his goods, and they sacked the city, seemed to have taken all the things that was there. Abraham heard the news. Abraham gathered his men together, his servants. He armed them. Apparently, Abraham had enough of his own weapons, and he armed all of his servants. Amen. And they went out and brought back those things, and they rescued Lot and his family. They offered them deliverance. Now, here's what I want you to notice. Abraham did not attack Sodom. Abraham did not go burn the city. He's waiting on God. God's going to take care of that. I don't know if Abraham knew that or not. But Abraham knew his job was not to go fight against Sodom. His job was to go rescue Lot, offer him some deliverance. Amen. And so he did that. He went and attacked those others, and he fought against those who had taken the men of Sodom hostage, and Abraham offered them deliverance from the captivity and the bondage that they had now found themselves in. Now, I realize and admit that Abram seems to have only been motivated because of the presence of Lot in this circumstance. But the principle still holds. Abraham offered them deliverance. I believe we're to stand strong against the sin of sodomy. I believe we're to stand strong against the deception of sodomy. Even though we are sickened and repulsed by their sin and by their behavior. Amen. Yet we should not respond with hatred, but we ought to offer them the delivering message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can set men free from the bondage of sin and sexual perversion. Amen. Jesus can save fornicators. Jesus can save adulterers. Jesus can save pornographers. Jesus can save strippers. Jesus can save prostitutes. And I believe if a sodomite would turn to Him, He could save those that have got caught up in sodomy. Amen. Now, I realize that people can go so far. They can go so far as to be turned over to a reprobate mind. They reject God, they reject the Christ of God to the point that they become reprobate in their thinking and will never be saved.
Right.
However, we do not know where or when they crossed that line. As a matter of fact, I believe there are drunkards that have crossed that line that have never committed the act of sodomy.
Right.
I believe there are fornicators that have crossed that line that have never committed the act of sodomy. I believe there are adulterers that have crossed that line that have never committed the act of sodomy. I'm just simply saying these people will never be saved, but there yet is no limit to the power of God to them that will believe the gospel. Amen. Amen. Well, one more thing. Let me put this note in there before I move on. Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians. Hold your place in Genesis. We're coming back. But 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, I believe proof text that Jesus can save any person. Anybody. 1 Corinthians 6. And while you're turning there, I'll say this, that I believe when a drunkard gets saved, he quits drinking. Amen. He didn't quit to get saved, but he's getting saved, quit him drinking. Amen. I believe that when fornicators get saved, they quit their fornicating. Amen. I believe when adulterers get saved, they quit committing adultery. And if a person were to get saved from sodomy, they will quit it, hate it, and be ashamed of it. They won't even want to mention it. Listen, this crowd that wants to wander around and brag about all the fornication they committed, brag about all the pornography they watched, brag about all the beer I don't believe they know the forgiven grace of God. Seems to me like they still got a hunger for those things. And this crowd that wants to say, well, I was a sodomite and I got saved, and they want to brag about all listen, God help them. They ought to be ashamed of those things which are done in secret, the Bible said. Amen. Well, now back to my text. 1 Corinthians 6. And look at verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. And he lists those. And I use this particular list. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. I believe God can save thieves. I believe God can save idolaters. I believe God can save effeminate. I believe God can save abusers of themselves and mankind. He can save whosoever will. Amen. Now, let me back up and say this again, though. Having said that, I believe He can save them. I'm not saying we ought to go down the streets of Sodom,
right,
knocking on every door and passing out gospel tracts to the Sodomites, because Abraham didn't do that either.
Right.
I'm looking at the principle of first mention. Amen. But I am saying that we ought never give up praying, witnessing, and hoping for their salvation. Here's what our Lord said. You don't have to turn, but Mark chapter 10, verse 26 and 27. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Amen. You say, oh, it's impossible for a sodomite to get saved. It's impossible for anybody to get saved unless God saves them. Amen. Nobody gets saved because they didn't do certain things or because they did do other things. That's not why you get saved. You get saved because God in His mercy shows you the light, thank God. You hear the gospel, believe the gospel, hallelujah. And God allows you to believe on Him. Amen. Thank God He gives you that opportunity. So, you have to make a division. You have to go a different direction. You have to put some distance between you. But then I believe we ought never stop offering them some deliverance. Number four, I've got seven of these points. Do not expect or accept their donations. If you want to look back at Genesis and you say, what's this got to do with this? I don't know. But it's right here in the text, so I've got to deal with it. Genesis 13, or 14, rather. Genesis 14, verses 21 through 23. Genesis 14, 21 through 23. And we'll look at it again in a minute. But, and the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. Hallelujah. Abraham said, I don't want what you got. Amen. When the king of Sodom offered Abram all the spoil from the battle, Abram refused it. And I believe openly displayed his contempt for their lifestyle. He said, I don't want anything you got. I don't want one thread. If I had a button popped off, I wouldn't ask you for a thread to sew it back on. That's what he's saying. If my shoes came undone and my shoe latchet was messed up, I wouldn't even ask you for a shoe latchet. Abram refused it, and I believe showed his contempt for their wicked ways. I am afraid that many or some religious and charitable organizations have been infiltrated and compromised because they've allowed the sodomites to come in and offer their support for what they're standing for. Right. Amen. By the way, I personally believe that's what happened to the GOP primary. They've had them for years. They called them log cabin Republicans that were openly sodomites and were promoting for openly sodomite ways going into the convention. Amen. But many religious and charitable organizations have been infiltrated and compromised by allowing them to donate and participate in their cause without repenting and turning from their abominable ways. Amen. You may be approached, let's go down on our level. You may be approached and asked, for example, to go to a restaurant and just meet his boyfriend or her girlfriend. And by the way, today they just say friend because it goes every which way. Just meet their friend. If you'll come sit down at our table and fellowship with us, maybe we'll buy your meal. Listen, don't accept or expect their donations.
Right.
Amen. They're trying to win you over. They're trying to be good and hospitable, so to speak, to win you over. You know why? They're deceptive. They're not repenting of their sin. They won't have flown it. Amen. And you never know, by the way, when there's somebody there with cameras and they're trying to put you in a compromised position.
Yeah. Right.
Be careful. Be careful when someone you know pitches their tent toward sodomy. They may just want to bring along their sodomite friends and their companions, but that should be refused for conscience sake and for testimony. I believe that's right. Number five, don't forget your devotions. Still here in chapter 14, verse 17. Don't forget your devotions. I mentioned Abram in chapter 13, the last verse, verse 18, that he went back to Mamre, or went to Mamre, pitched his tent there, and built another altar. He had devotions to God. But look at chapter 14, verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and all the kings that were with him in the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand." And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods thyself." So we see right here, the kings, five kings show up to honor Abraham. But this king of Salem, which happens to be the priest of the Most High God, shows up. And Abraham rejects and neglects and refuses to listen to five kings because he wants to hear from the man that hears from God. He wants to talk to the man that talks to God. He's not interested in hearing from that crowd. He's got his devotions made up. He's devoted to God and the things of God. Amen. And Abram pays his tithes, and I just noticed I left mine in my pocket. Hallelujah. Amen. Get rid of it before the judgment falls. Amen. But seriously, Abram, in the midst of all that, here's these guys coming, going to offer him these goods. I don't know if he knows what's going on, but they're going to honor him. And he shows up. He's not interested in the honor of sinners. He's not interested in the honor of the majority. He wants to be devoted to his God. Amen. And he paid his tithes, showed his devotion, ignored the king of Sodom until after he had displayed his devotions in honoring his God. I'll say this, the day may come when we have to make up our mind we're going to worship God in spite of the Sodomites that show up. Amen. We may have to make up our mind that we're going to ignore them and still worship our God in spite of that fact. Amen. Look at Genesis chapter 18. I'm moving on. Genesis 18. Verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him, Abraham, now he's called, in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." And he goes on talking about, let a little water be brought, and he offers him sacrifice. Look down now at verse number 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know that he will command his children and his household after him, and they will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." And the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know." And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. I underline that phrase. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. When Lot turned toward Sodom, Abraham stayed with God. When these two witnesses turned toward Sodom, Abraham stayed with God. Amen. No doubt, Abraham was embarrassed and probably even ashamed of the route that his nephew Lot had taken in pitching his tent toward Sodom. No doubt his heart was broken as he saw Lot deviating from the things that he had been taught. Amen. Abraham knew that he couldn't follow his course and quit on God. Amen. Abraham bowed in the presence of God. He still communicated with the Lord. He still offered offerings unto God. Amen. Abraham was blessed for his devotion, but he stayed faithful through his sorrow, through his shame, and through his concern. Now listen, because this is important. This is us. I'm talking about things that are to come down the road. I guarantee it. Mark her down. Don't allow sorrow or shame or anger keep you out of the house of God and away from the things of God. Don't allow those things to get you to quit reading your Bible, quit praying, quit talking to God and fellowshipping with God and God's people. Don't allow those things to drive a wedge between you and God's people just because someone you know has pitched their tent towards Sodom. Amen. They may condone what's going on down there. They may condemn what's going on over here. But you've got to make up your mind you're going to be devoted. Amen. You're going to be devoted. Keep on worshiping God. Keep on going to church. Keep on fellowshipping with the saints. Keep on reading the Bible. Keep on praying. Keep on serving God. That's what I'm saying. It is still right to do right, and it always will be right to do right. Even when someone close to you does wrong, it's still right to do right, and it'll always be right to do right. Amen. Number six, plead with them, or plead for them, with diligence. Look at verse 23 of chapter 18, verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there shall be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy, not spare the place for the 50 that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes." And Abraham answered and said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, "If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it." Now I'm going to stop reading, but you know if you'd read on down there, Abraham just kept on whittling the number down, calling on God. He prayed, asked God to spare the cities, not just Lot, but the cities. If he'd spare those cities, if he could only find 50 righteous, then he said, 5 less, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. He went all the way down to 10 righteous people, and certainly we know that Abraham was concerned about Lot. But I believe Abraham was even concerned about others who in their innocency were caught up in that. I've heard people say, when God destroyed Sodom, don't you think He destroyed children? Sure He did. If there were any children in that city. Amen. You say, why do you say if there were any? Because Sodomites don't produce children. Why don't they produce children? Because it's unnatural.
Amen.
Amen. If they were born that way, then they'd be birthing babies that way.
Right.
Don't happen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, maybe Lot, or maybe Abraham was concerned about those in their innocency. Many, and by the way, statistics will prove out that the majority of men that admit to being sodomites were molested as children. You know who molested them? Another sodomite. That's right. They were molested as children, and that's how they produce that. It produces an anger, a hatred, a confusion in their mind, and it follows them throughout their life. And then we've got society said, well, that's all right. You was just born that way. That's fine. We'll applaud that. When in reality, we need to help them out of their confusion. Amen. And maybe rescue some boys and girls down the road from being molested and abused. Amen. I say this, Abraham was praying for the entire city to be spared. Now, again, this is consequential to us because it teaches us to pray for the souls and lives of others even though they have pitched their tent towards Sodom. Abraham was still praying for Lot and for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the principle of first mention in our Bible. And then number 7. I wish I didn't have to say this. Number 7. Watch for their destruction. Because it's coming.
Right.
Chapter 19. Verse 27 and 28. You know the story is God told Abraham what He's going to do. And then those two men go down there. By the way, Sodom was so filled up with sin. It was a violent place, and that is a violent act. it was a voyeuristic place, not satisfied with those that had agreed with them. They wanted to rape these new men that come into town. Here's what Abraham did. Look at verse 27 and 28. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. That's his prayer place. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Abraham looked toward Sodom, but he never pitched his tent toward Sodom. Amen. Abraham went to his prayer place early in that morning and got up, even though he knew the futility of his hope. Abram got up and looked toward Sodom and saw the smoke arising from the destruction. Can I tell you that prophetically we can do the same? Don't quit praying, but while you're praying, you may smell the smoke. While you're praying, you may see the billows going up as the smoke arises from the destruction that has fallen. You see, friends, I'm sorry to inform you, but it's true that even those we love and hope will change may not change. And if they don't change, certain destruction is coming. They're on a runaway train barreling towards destruction is where they're headed. God will not refrain from bringing His terrible judgment. Turn to Habakkuk, if you will. If you don't find it, it's a hard to find book in the Old Testament, one of the small, we call minor prophets. The book of Habakkuk, chapter number 3, gives us what I believe is our prayer. The only prayer that we've got in this day. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse number 2. He starts off verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. Verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known. In wrath remember mercy. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. I preach today on what to do when someone you know pitches their tent toward Sodom. If you're here this morning and you realize your tent is pitched that way, I tell you, you better head the other way like Abraham did. Amen. If you're here and you realize you know people whose tent is pitched that way, you better pray for them. You better offer them deliverance. You better make sure you're devoted to God and stay true to God and don't let them influence you to be deviant in your own lifestyle. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Thank you that you love me and not me only. But you died, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. You so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us rise above our own anger. Rise above our own disappointment. Rise above our own shame. And plead with you on behalf of people. This generation that seems is so deceived by this deviant lifestyle. Demonically deceived, I'm afraid. Oh, Lord, I pray for deliverance. Lord, I pray you'd help us to offer them deliverance. There's hope if they'll come to Jesus. Lord, I pray you'll work and get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing. Normally we sing two verses. That's just how it seems to work. Today I'm going to start out and say we're going to sing three verses just to give ample time, grace, a little extra grace. If God spoke to you, obey the Lord. We may sing more, but we'll sing at least three verses. You obey the Lord. If God spoke to you, you need to come. Please do what He says do while we sing.